Mr. Abernathy.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Richard Abernathy, and I represent the Northwest Independent School District. The trial court does not have jurisdiction to hear this case for four reasons. Number one, the Declaratory Judgment Act, or this is a lawsuit brought by Carroll ISD that's a suit for damages. The Declaratory Judgment Act does not allow for the presentation of a case based upon a suit for damages. Second, there is no waiver of immunity to challenge a court order. In this case, Carroll ISD is challenging the election order signed by the Commissioner's Court in 1949. Third, this is an election contest, and the time period for asserting a claim or attempting to set aside an election contest is passed. And fourth, there is a comprehensive mandatory legislative scheme, Titles 1 and 2 of the Education Code, that provides that any person who is aggrieved by the school laws of Texas must follow the administrative process before it's allowed to come to court. In this case, that was not done. Let's start with the first one, the suit for damages. This lawsuit was filed in 2005. The lawsuit sought damages in the form of back taxes. We're now on our fifth amended petition. The original petition, the first amended, second amended, third amended, and fourth amended petition all assert claims for damages by Carroll ISD against Northwest ISD. It wasn't until Northwest ISD filed a motion for summary judgment, and that summary judgment was granted, that Carroll ISD filed its fifth amended petition, and in it does not mention damages. However, that claim could still be reasserted by Carroll ISD. In fact, if you'll look at the request for disclosure responses and the interrogatory answers filed by Carroll ISD, which have not been amended, both of those assert claim for damages. This case being a claim for damages, the Supreme Court and most recently the City of Crowley case in Fort Worth has held that you cannot bring a declaratory judgment act against a school district or a governmental entity for damages.
And how far back did that claim for damages go?
It's unclear.
So you have no calculation of how they came up with their response?
They didn't give an amount.
Okay.
They didn't give an amount. What I recall is they just said they were seeking their back damages. As you know, the Northwest ISD was finally created, the ultimate boundaries were created in 1949. Carroll ISD was in 1959.
There's no requirement that a school district's boundaries be at all contemporaneous with a county boundary, is there?
No. And in fact, there are a number of cases where a city, which, you know, when you're from Colorado, cities used to be able to have school also operate the school district, that even after there's a separation of the city and the school district, even though the school district boundaries refer to a city, if there's a movement by the city to annex new land, that does not change the school boundary. There hasn't been a change of, there has no not been a waiver of immunity to challenge a court order. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said that the Declaratory Judgment Act is not available to parties to assert a claim to challenge a court order. The declaratory judgment action is not an open-ended invitation to assert claims against anybody for any reason. And in this context, the court has been clear that there has been no waiver of immunity in this case for a court order. The challenge that's been brought by the Carroll Independent School District is that the 1949 order certifying, approving, ordering the election be approved somehow subject to attack. Well, in the Tarrant County, Denton County case, the Fort Worth Court of Appeals held that any order of a commissioner's court that falls within its jurisdiction is considered to be a judgment the same as if it were a court judgment, and that is not subject to attack. And as you know, because some of you wrote that opinion, you relied on the Yoakum case. The Yoakum case found the same thing, and that's an earlier 1942 Supreme Court case. In addition, in 1954, the Texas Supreme Court held that same rule applied in election cases. Instead, Carroll ISD comes to you and says, Well, you got to look at the type of order that this is. Well, the type of order is not relevant in this case, whether it's a judicial, administrative, or executory order. It doesn't make any difference because they're not attacking because Carroll is not suing the commissioner's court. The only case that's been cited by Carroll ISD for that proposition is a Collin County case, the Collin County Commissioner's Court versus district judges. However, that case is distinguishable. First, that case involved a direct attack by the commissioner's court against the district court judges in Collin County for them hiring a jury clerk. The court said that's a direct attack. This is not a direct attack here. And second, the Court of Appeals in Dallas made a comment about you can't attack an advisory opinion or an administrative opinion or an executive opinion of the commissioner's court. And yet that flies in the face of what you said, what the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth said in Tarrant County versus Denton County, and the Supreme Court in Yoakum and in Johnson. In addition, it's an election contest. We had an election in 1949. It was called, it was done, it was approved. You have 30 days to contest an election contest, and it wasn't done. Carroll ISD says, well, Carroll didn't exist then. Well, in 1959, Carroll existed, and the same descriptor was used to describe the boundaries of Carroll ISD and didn't object to it. The election contest bar, this is.
What would they have objected to?
Sir?
What would they have objected to in 1959?
Well, if I understand Carroll's argument correctly, Carroll ISD contends that the boundary line between Tarrant County and Denton County has always been in dispute until 2002. And therefore, there was no boundary. There was no definite boundary because it was in dispute. In order for a school district to have a school district, it has to have definite boundaries. Otherwise, you don't know where the students go to school, you don't know how to tax, and you don't know how to issue bonds. If, in fact, the boundary of Tarrant County and Denton County was in dispute when Tarrant County authorized the election, Carroll should have said, we want to dispute this election because this boundary, this descriptor that you've now want to attack as not being clear and ambiguous, doesn't allow us to create a school district.
What's your position on whether or not it was a dispute in 1959 adjudicated in the 21st century?
In my view, the boundary line described creating Northwest ISD in 1949 was not in dispute. It was a descriptor. It described what was the four boundaries or the boundaries of the Northwest ISD. That was not in dispute. And, in fact, the jurisdictional evidence we brought to you indicates it's not in dispute. The taxing authorities, Carroll ISD, Northwest ISD, everybody agrees that they knew where the boundary was. And there was no dispute about it. Carroll now wants to come to you and say, argue about it, dispute. We don't want you to interpret it. We want to rely on it. Well, anytime the Supreme Court has said repeatedly, and this court has said, whenever you want to look at interpret a court order, you need to be careful because that's usually a guise for changing it. Clearly, Carroll ISD did not file this lawsuit to affirm the status quo. And Carroll knew what the status quo is. In fact, its corporate representative, the superintendent, said, yes, we know where the line is. We've agreed he's been here for this long time, but now we want to move it to where the Tarrant County, Denton County decision was made. We want to move it. Well, the Court of Appeals in this case in 2007 said this case is not about moving the line because if it's about moving the line, then the requirements of Title I and II of the Education Code are going to apply because you have to go through the mandatory legislative scheme to resolve that in order to give people bondholders, taxpayers, families, and others an opportunity to have a say about where they go to school. The Constitution guarantees us a free education, but we got to know where we're going to school. My observation about it's our position that that the line was clear, it was understood, it was a descriptor. Everyone knew where it was, and now they want to move it. The Court of Appeals said in 2007, that's not a movement, we're trying to decide the location of the disputed area in which district it's been in now and forever. And that's not the lawsuit anymore. The Fifth Amendment petition took out the disputed area, didn't talk about going back. The Fifth Amendment petition today says, I want the court, Carol says, I want the court to declare that the line, the boundary line, is the line where Tarrant County and Denton County case decided and not going back. Because if you look at where it's always been, which is what how this court described it, we already know where it's always been. We brought you the jurisdictional facts. Now, I'm not arguing the facts of the case, but I'm bringing you jurisdictional facts. We already know what that is. Carroll has now shifted his position to say, no, it's right here where Tarrant County and Denton County is, and we're not looking back. But
So are you saying that this shift in, by virtue of the fifth petition, that change now makes this a disputed area and a disputed line case, which requires or which is really Carroll asking for annexation of additional property?
Well, I'm saying two things. The answer is yes and. Okay. Yes, I am saying that's one of the changes. The other change I am saying is that Northwest ISD failed to bring you adequate jurisdictional evidence last time so that you could see that the effect, the intent, and the purpose of this lawsuit is to move the line. I didn't do that last time. I'm doing it now, and that's why we're asking you to look at that issue again,
and
for
so
those two reasons.
That would allow this court to re-examine what it's, or maybe perhaps make a distinction from what it held in the earlier case regarding
yes.
that issue.
Yes, and also in your case, you also referred to the Dubai case as a basis for saying, you know, one of the complaints we had about the declaratory judgment was it really was a right to relief. And since that Dubai case that the Court of Appeals relied on, the Supreme Court's issued, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Luck, L-U-E-C-K, which says jurisdiction, sometimes you have to look at the facts, to look at the underlying, whether or not there is immunity here. And it's not just a matter of right to relief, it also is an immunity issue, which goes back to my point about we have not waived immunity regarding a court order. And when you look at the underlying facts regarding that court order, the Declaratory Judgment Act does not waive immunity for a suit against the school district to challenge that court order. Finally, the comprehensive mandatory legislative scheme established by the legislature has one other fold about it. You're asking about coming back and why we look. One other thing that Northwest failed to bring to your attention last time that we want to bring to your attention this time. In Section 7.057A, that's the provision in the Education Code that allows anybody who is aggrieved by school law in Texas to come and complain. One of the laws that we didn't bring to your attention, we primarily focused on Chapter 13 last time. One of them is, two of them, it's 11, it's a Section 11. I think it's 11257 and Section 45002. I know it's Section 45002, which relates to the right to tax, to levy taxes and issue bonds. Both of those are within Title I and Title II of the Education Code. This lawsuit is about money. This lawsuit's about the opportunity to take land that's traditionally and always has been in Northwest ISD, convert it to Carroll ISD, and to be able to tax it. That is a law under Chapter Title I, under Title I and Title II of the Education Code. The right to do that is currently vested in Northwest ISD. Carroll ISD wants to change that. That's a law that Carroll says they've been aggrieved by. That's a school law under Title I and Title II, and that has to go through the mandatory legislative scheme. Unless you have further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Abernathy. Mr. Gilstrap.
May it please the court, since I only have 15 minutes, I'm going to have to resist the urge to jump into the merits of the case because the merits are not before this court. The case, the issue is jurisdiction. And this is the second interlocutory appeal. They've appealed on the grounds they asserted in the first interlocutory appeal, which are barred by law of the case, but they've asserted new grounds. And I want to talk for a second about the newest ground that they've asserted. It's so new it wasn't even in their plea to the jurisdiction, and that's immunity. It's not in their plea to the jurisdiction. It's barely in their opening brief. There's one mention of it, but now in their reply brief, it's their lead argument. Now, we start with a rule that the Declaratory Judgments Act cannot be used to obtain damages or enforce a contract against a governmental entity. They are trying to say that this suit is about damages. This suit is and always has been about where the boundary line is located and hence which school district controls the disputed area. They try to distinguish between those two arguments. They're the same thing. When you decide where the boundary is, you decide who gets the disputed area. We did have an ancillary claim for back taxes. Wasn't addressed or even mentioned in the first briefs or first opinion. After the case went back down, the Supreme Court handed down Nueces County against San Patricio County, which says they're immune from our claim for back taxes. We stood up in court and dropped it and amended our pleading. They're incorrect in saying that the court handed down summary judgment before we did that, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not in the case now. We're not seeking damages. So the rule of I.T. Davey, which says you can't use damages, a declaratory judgment action, to get damages, is not applicable. You can tell it's not in the first case because this court in its first, it's not in the case, it was, and it's not always been our lead issue, because this court said in the opening opinion that Carroll is seeking a judicial declaration regarding whether the disputed area is in the Carroll ISD or the Northwest ISD. That's what the case has always been about. Counsel is correct. I think this appeal is about damages, about money, because since they're immune for a claim for back taxes, every year that this goes on means they get another $1.5 million in tax revenue that we can never recover. The case goes on 10 years, they get $15 million. Now, we are not seeking a judicial declaration that there's something wrong with the commissioner's court order. We're not questioning it. We're not seeking to interpret it. We're not attacking it. It says Tarrant County. We're fine with that. They're the ones who are trying to interpolate meaning in that. We're not. We are implicitly seeking to invalidate the board resolutions, board regulations, and policies of the Northwest ISD to the extent that they apply to the disputed area, because the disputed area, if we're correct, is not in the Northwest ISD. In this regard, our case is a lot like City of Crowley against Ray. In City of Crowley against Ray, the builder was seeking a judicial declaration that his lots weren't in the 100-year floodplain. Implicitly, that would have knocked out all of the city's regulations involving property in the 100-year floodplain because his lots weren't in the 100-year floodplain. He did not have to go on and expressly plead to knock out every regulation that the City of Crowley had. Similarly, we are seeking a judicial declaration that the disputed area is not in the Northwest ISD. We shouldn't have to go in and knock out every one of their policies, every one of their board resolutions pertaining to that. If it's not in the Northwest ISD, those are perforce invalid. Now, there is one nuance here that I think could be problematic if the courts doesn't if I don't pay attention to it. And that is this. That is the Dubai case. In the first opinion, the court said that it recited the common law rule that said that the merits of the case are separate from the jurisdiction. The merits are whether you can prove your case. The jurisdiction is whether the court can decide it. And that's the common law rule. The court cited Dubai in that case, which held that, as a general rule, statutory prerequisites are not jurisdictional. However, neither Dubai case nor this court's first opinion was concerned with immunity. In the Lueck case, the court was concerned with immunity. And in the Lueck case, the court said that, yes, the merits and jurisdiction can be implicated in the same issue. And the operative word is can, and it depends on the statute. In Lueck, they were dealing with a whistleblower statute. The whistleblower statute requires the plaintiff to allege a violation of the statute. That's jurisdictional, but it also involves the merits. It's a lot like the requirement in the Tort Claims Act that the plaintiff show that the personal property caused the injury. The same thing, the waiver of immunity implicates the merits. But we're not dealing with a statute like that. We're dealing with the Declaratory Judgments Act, which, in fact, is not even a statutory cause of action. It is merely a remedy for a controversy that's already within the jurisdiction of a court, and of course, district courts have general jurisdiction over all controversies. However, the point I'm making is that I'm distinguishing LUAC. I'm distinguishing LUAC because it involved immunity, and in that case, the statutory cause of action involved the merits. Here, we don't have a statutory cause of action. That's the point I'm making. And with regard to the but just because the Declaratory Judgments Act is not a statutory cause of action does not mean it is not a waiver of governmental immunity. It is. And there you get into this kind of tricky interface between subject matter jurisdiction and the larger concept of jurisdiction that the Texas Supreme Court adopted when it said that you could appeal a plea of the jurisdiction on immunity under a plea of the jurisdiction. Now, having said that, I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues that were, first of all, let me say this. With regard to the rule that you can't attack a judgment by way of declaratory judgment, that doesn't apply, we say, to a commissioner's court order. And, of course, we're not attacking it. We're not attacking or interpreting it. We're simply saying that it said that the school district boundary is the Tarrant County line, the county line. And wherever the county line is, that's where the school district boundary is. The court was very careful. Even though the case does not involve the merits, I think it's possible in writing the opinion to influence the merits because it's going to be heavily scrutinized by the district judge. And the court was very careful in the first opinion to avoid kind of agreeing with their argument that we are trying to move the school district boundary. We're not trying to move the school district boundary any more than Tarrant County was trying to move the county line. Tarrant County against Denton County was decided under 72.009 of the Local Government Code. That statute is only applicable when you're trying to locate the county line for the first time. If the county line has previously been located, then it's not applicable. The court in Tarrant County versus Denton County said the Tarrant County line has never been located. Ergo, the statute is applicable. So the county line has never been located, and the court in Tarrant County was not trying to move the county line. Well, since the school district boundary is located on the county line, the school district boundary has never been located, and even though we're not under 72.009, we are not trying to move the school district boundary. Hence, this argument that they keep trying to make that somehow this is administrative detachment and annexation procedure under the education code is simply wrong. And the argument is very strained, but it becomes very clear why it's not right when you read the first opinion. And it becomes clear that we're not trying to move the school district boundary. We're trying to find out where it's always been located. Now, they've come back in this appeal with kind of new wine and old bottles. They're making another argument to show that the school district boundary has been located and we're trying to move it, and that's the estoppel argument. And they have evidence, of course, that the school districts have observed what was called the taxing line. That's the blue line on the map that I gave you, which is not the old white line, which is what Denton County claimed. It's at a different location. But there's evidence that the districts have observed that line as the school district boundary for a number of years. They're saying, well, therefore, that makes it the school district boundary. But of course, we all know that school districts cannot be estopped. They're not subject to limitations. They're not subject to adverse possession. None of those doctrines work. They cannot establish, then, that through estoppel, this was the school district boundary, and therefore they can't try to show, they can't show that we're trying to move it. It's the same argument that we're trying to move the school district boundary, and we're not trying to do that. Now, I believe that's everything I have. If I haven't used up all my time, and I'm really surprised at that, and I'm not going to dive further into the merits. I think I've made my position clear about what we're trying to do. If the court has no further questions, I'll conclude. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gilstrap. All right, Mr. Abernathy, rebuttal.
Please, Your Honor. Mr. Gilstrap says that the court did not grant a summary judgment as to the claim for loss of tax revenues. Page 178 of the clerk's record is the order granting summary judgment. Mr. Gilstrap, on behalf of Carroll ISD, says that it is not that Carroll is not collaterally attacking the commissioner's court order. The commission in May of this year, the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth said in Burgess versus State, in footnote 10, a collateral attack is an, quote, attempt to avoid the effect of a judgment in a preceding brought for some other purpose. In this case, Carroll ISD is attempting to avoid the effect of what the election was, as well as the Commissioner's Court's order, in this case, for another purpose, and that is to change the boundaries of the district. He says, I'm not changing the boundaries. I'm really relying on the language. Burgess versus State says that's a collateral attack. Carroll ISD says, Chapter 72 says, is the methodology by which you establish a county line. And that's accurate when there's not been a line established before. What he doesn't tell you is that in the Tarrant County and Denton County case, the decision was based upon a contract. And the parties, Denton County, Tarrant County, Collin County, and Dallas County, contracted to do a new survey. To get there, they knew what they had to do. They had to say, we can't change this county line unless we decide that it is not clearly established. So they declare in their contract, Chapter 72 applies, it's not definite, and we need to move forward. And that's how Tarrant County, Denton County got to the point where they said we're creating the line for the first time. They contractually agreed it was true. That's not what happened here. Tarrant County and Denton County have never said that the descriptor in this description describing the Northwest ISD is not the line. Carroll ISD admits the line is where it is. Carroll ISD says, well, you can't bring estoppel and statute of limitations and I can't remember the other one he said. We can bring latches and deed by acquiescence and other defenses, which you've all played. But that goes to the facts of the case. I'm not talking about the facts. I'm talking about whether the trial court has jurisdiction to hear this case. It is clear from the testimony of the corporate representative, Carroll ISD, that it wants to move the line. Mr. Gilstrap on behalf of Carroll says that's not true. The deposition at page 9 of the appellant's brief, the deposition of Mr. Faltes, the superintendent who is the corporate rep who speaks for the district, said, well, where CISD historically thought the boundary line was, has moved. Carroll ISD seeks to move the line, and it seeks to do it by collaterally attacking the judgment of the court, of the commissioner's court in 1949. The case law is clear that you cannot attack a court judgment under the Declaratory Judgments Act. So the question is the commissioner's order a judgment that the Supreme Court has said you can't attack? And yes, it is, because the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth said so in Tarrant County versus Denton County. In that case, you said Yoakum is the law, And Yoakum says that if the county court, in it, that if a commissioner's court decision falls within its jurisdiction, it is given the same weight and the same priority as a judgment. This case is controlled by, I agree, this case is controlled by Denton County, Tarrant County, but not for the purpose of where the line is, but for the purpose that Carroll ISD cannot collaterally attack the order of the commissioner's court in 1949 or the election contest. The reason we brought back the issue about the legislative scheme is to provide the full record so you can see the record under Lucky, which is allowed to do. In fact, the Court of Appeals since he was trying to distinguish Lucky, the court in 2009, the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth and York versus State said at footnote 9, citing Bland ISD versus Blue, sometimes courts must look at facts involving merits of the claim to determine its jurisdiction to hear the claim. That's what the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth said, Bland said, which was a Supreme Court case in 2000. Northwest ISD has attempted to bring you the additional facts. I think my time is up. Bring you the additional facts, or I'll wind up. We ask that the court grant the plea of jurisdiction and dismiss the Declaratory Judgment Act filed by Carroll ISD. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Abernathy. Thank you, Mr. Gilstrap. We appreciate your arguments and your briefing today. Been most helpful to the court. Your case is now submitted and you all are excused. We will take a 10-minute recess.